We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
A Bears report with Mark Grody. We will get to in a second, but just to update the news story, the tragedy from earlier, much worse than initially reported. 14 kids dead at an elementary school in Texas. Their teacher killed as well. The shooter dead. And the shooter reportedly, according to Texas Governor Greg Abbott, killed his grandmother before at his home before heading to the school. So 14 kids, the teacher, the grandmother, and the shooter. So that's 17 dead, 16 victims.
You're going to go out. Just go out. What are you doing?
I don't know, man. We have lost the plot. Mark Grody always injects happiness into our life. It is just another sad day in America. Grody, it was an interesting day at Hallis Hall. I apologize for the very awkward transition, man. This is not on you. This is on me. But mentioned it earlier. Wanted to give the update, given that the last time we mentioned it, there had only been two dead. We had Tevin Jenkins speak. We had Cole Kmet speak. We had Matt Eberflus speak. And you got to watch the minicamp. Is that correct?
Yeah. We got to watch every minute of the practice. Danny, it's totally okay, man. I had not heard any of that news. That's what happens when you're covering a team. You're just so soaked into it. So my heart has sunk and goes out to everybody. So I appreciate that you gave us the headline there. But yes, another full practice today for these guys. And one thing that has been static, actually, for the Bears, that has remained the same throughout the early stages of the Matt Eberflus regime, is that there has been a fairly consistent offensive line, with Lucas Patrick being the center, with Cody Whitehair and today a lot of Dakota Dozier at the guard spots, and most importantly, Larry Borum playing left tackle, and they moved Tevin Jenkins over to right tackle. And today was the first time, gentlemen, that we got to talk to Tevin Jenkins about playing right tackle, and here's how he sounds about that.
Feels good. That's what I played mostly in college, so it is comfortable. It was nice, and I do look forward to keep on getting these reps at right tackle.
Do you think that will be your position this year?
From understanding? From my understanding right now, as of right now, yeah, it is.
I mean, it sounds like you want that.
I play wherever they need me. Get in where you fit in.
Man.
Get in where you fit in.
How about, what does it say about Ryan Pace that he lets Charles Leno walk, who actually has a pretty nice year in Washington, and trades up to draft a right tackle to put at left tackle, and the new regime immediately puts him back at right tackle?
No, that's such a great point, Speaks.
It's unbelievable.
That is so true.
So pathetic.
Drafted him to be the left tackle, but he played more right tackle in college.
Yeah, that's what he does well.
That was a very good synopsis. The only detail left out is they drafted a hurt guy.
Yeah, right.
So then they had to sign Jason Peters, who is a left tackle, and then that put Tevin Jenkins outside of left tackle. So the injury component of it.
I should have added that in.
Yeah, they drafted the hurt.
I'll tighten it up for next time. Yeah,
If I had one note. But I mean, he does have the right mindset, and if he is a starting caliber plus right tackle, that is still a worthwhile second round pick. So even if he's not a left tackle, it still can be a worthwhile selection in the end, correct?
Absolutely, and you know it. The important part of that cut too is that he said this is what it is right now. I actually circled back within the press conference and said, you know, again, they did give some wiggle room for this to change, and he said absolutely yes. So is he going to be the Bears' right tackle? I don't know. It is still possible that he will get a look at left tackle, or maybe this is what they're going with until Larry Borum does something that they look at and say he can't play left tackle.
Well, you got to start somewhere. We know that Pat Mattingly was not a big fan of the spike step of Tevin Jenkins, so
that's right.
That's the entirety of my offensive line analysis in terms of him specifically. Is Tevin Jenkins having difficulty learning the Luke Getsy offense and the new, what is it, Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach?
That's right, Speaks. And yeah, I don't know if he's having trouble learning it, but there are things that go along with this particular type of offensive line that are, let's just say, challenging. Here's Tevin on that.
Yeah, it is a big difference. It's a lot more faster pace, more up-tempo, getting around, setting edges, all that stuff. And how that affects you is you got to slim down a little bit more and start getting, more faster, a little speeding up in certain areas.
Is that a huge challenge to do?
I'm already slimmed down right now. I'm already down to 325. And last season I was up to 345. And I got down to, I believe, at the end of last season I was 33% body fat, and now I'm down to about 24.
Do you like doing Pilates, or is that like torture?
You ever do a Pilates workout? It is. Yeah, it is. Oh, my God. Oh. But it's good for you, so I'm happy to do it. And
Devin, you talked about slimming down and the discipline that goes with it. Does that mean you had to cut out some foods you love, or how did that diet go?
Yeah. There's a lot of things you had to cut out. So at dinner, I tried to cut out carbs. It's like anything, you know how hard it is to cut out, like, mac and cheese, rice. It's the perfect go-to when you're going with a meal. I've been trying to cut out some more alcohol out of my system, so I'm trying to get more cleansed out, I guess. And also that does help with your body fat. Instead of drinking all that beer, all that fat just sits on you, so you just burn it off.
You can still barbecue whatever you want.
Hey. Not wrong.
Oh, your relationship is adorable.
I like everything about that. Mark Carmen is a great addition to the Bears beat. I continue to say it.
Oh, absolutely.
The Pilates, is that brutal for you? And then, yeah, Tevin Jenkins is just a nice man.
Oh, man.
Simple.
He's trying to cleanse the beer out of the system.
Drinking less, winning more.
So no more carbs. He's like, but you know, I mean, mac and cheese is just a perfect thing to go with any meal.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's what everyone says, like my toddler and, you know, people like that.
He said, do you do a Pilates workout?
Yeah. Do you guys have a skyscraper?
It was exact same tone. Yeah. Exact same tone. That's what he does.
Yeah. I love this guy.
Early in the presser, you know, again, I have to edit. I can't play every. I actually considered doing this entire Bears hit on Tevin Jenkins, but early on, he talked about the Pilates and was like advertising. He's like, I do it at a place in Lake Forest, gave the name of the place. He's like, I definitely suggest it.
That's payola. You know, that's cool. Payola. Leave that alone.
Yeah, I don't know, something like that. But he's really into the Pilates, and I agree with you as well, Parco, that Mark Carmen has been a dream. He's been a dream on the beat. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely.
All right, so that's from the line. Cole Kmet.
Yes.
People have written him off. I think that's – a mistake. He still is very young. It's a tough position to transition to in the NFL.
He looks good running down the field sometimes, doesn't he?
I think
I want to see him do more of that.
Yeah. So where are we at on Tevin Jenkins today, Grody?
Yeah. Well, you mean Cole Kmet? I know we love.
What did
Tevin
I say?
Jenkins.
Yeah, Cole Kmet.
You said Tevin Jenkins.
Cole
I know
Kmet.
This is the show that we're allowed to correct each other on.
Please.
So,
yeah.
But Cole Kmet.
Which shows are you not allowed to correct people on?
No, I think that most shows. I have just learned that it's very much. It's encouraged because of the ball busting that goes on this show to correct each other.
Yeah,
Cole
Kmet is what I meant.
Yes, Cole Kmet. And
stop talking about other shows, Mark.
Yeah, I knew what you meant, and I still corrected you. That is, I'm ripping on all the other shows. Cole Kmet, his Bears life has been wacky. Take a listen.
Yeah, so I think when you look back on it, you know, you see that, I mean, really for my first 2 years here, I've had a lot of not just quarterbacks, but quarterback changes. So it's tough. I mean, it's tough on a player. You know, you're trying to get feel for guys and, you know, different kind of scheme changes with depending on who the quarterback is. So for me, just always doing what I'm asked, and at the end of the day, that's all you can control. So I'm just going to keep doing that and keep working at it.
That said, do you feel like it's almost like you're starting over again this year?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you're starting over again. But I'm optimistic. I'm totally bought into what's going on here. Coach Eberflus has come up with a great mindset that I think is really good for this team. You know, obviously we're young, but you know, I'm totally bought into what's going on here, and I'm excited for it.
Do you feel more pressure because of that? Because you have a new regime that you have to impress?
My uncle played 17 years, and I asked him. This was when I was young. I remember it was my dad asking, how did you play for that long? And he's like, you feel like you're getting cut every day, and that's a tough feeling. But like, that's how you got to come here every day. So like, regardless if it was the old scheme or old regime, new regime. Whatever it is, this is the NFL. Like, you know, the jobs are on the line every day, so you got to come to work like that.
I like that.
Yeah, saying all the right things.
Well, and feeling all the right things and acting all the right. Like, go ahead, feel like your job's in jeopardy. Show up strong every damn day. It's good.
They need it, man. They need somebody. Like, I think Mooney you can count on. I think the running backs should be fine to good. They need someone. They need a Kmet,
yeah.
A Jones, a St. Brown, a Pringle. They need someone to shock us.
You're totally right. Here's the good news. The quarterback on day one of training camp is going to be the quarterback who matters the most. He will have a chance to develop said chemistry with some of those people.
That'll help.
He didn't have a chance to do that last year in the idiotic regime that was
here. Well, and one of the most, I'll use your word, Speaks, idiotic things about last year was the fact that Cole Kmet had zero touchdown catches. And this is your tight end, your big man, your red zone threat.
Right. And Justin Fields was developing chemistry with who? Jesse James and Jesper Horsted?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, those were his guys. It's ridiculous.
He's the only one left. Like, when we were counting tight ends a couple of years ago, and there were 10 of them or at this point a couple of years ago, Cole Kmet is the only one left out of that whole group. And he was. I thought it was pretty funny the way Brad Biggs asked this question to Cole Kmet in regards to.
We wouldn't know.
See, I have access to Brad Biggs, and so I'm going to bring it to you.
How's that feel?
In audio, it's great. It's great, and now it is for you guys and the masses of listeners. Here it is.
The losing last year had to be the most frustrating thing. Where does not getting a damn ball in the red zone?
Yeah, I mean, so I think I look back on it and, you know, I look back at each part of my game and, you know, that was obviously an area that was lacking for me. And so I look at it and you look at what opportunities you had in the red zone. So the two that I like really look back that I kind of wish I had back were the one against San Fran against Warner in the end zone, where honestly, just a timing thing between Justin wanted one place, I went the other. That's something that I think we're going to have figured out this year. You know, that's one of them. And then the same thing, there was one in Green Bay, a low ball that just skipped off the ground. But so those are the two that I look at that I wish I would have had back, and that's really all I can look at and kind of assess myself on with that type of stuff.
On a week-to-week basis, there had to be stuff in there for you that just...
Yeah, I mean, sometimes things don't work out. They play coverage here, the coverage there, and, you know, just it doesn't work out. But it is what it is. Like I said, I got to focus on my thing and not worry about the rest.
Yeah, it's a cliche. I mean, again, they need someone. Like, they need someone in the red zone to be a guy. And when we had Ron Veal on, the Justin Fields' private quarterback coach since he was in sixth grade,
he told
us that Komet was down there, you know, working out. So he's talking about like training camp. He'll be able to get the rapport with these guys with Komet and Mooney.
Good.
It's already been happening on the practice fields down in Georgia. So hopefully Komet is that dude because he is the highest pedigree guy. He's the highest pedigree pass catcher that the Bears have in terms of draft position. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy, but he absolutely is. There's something cooking here with Jalen Johnson. And for the past couple weeks, like every time he talks, every time he comes up, the hackles, the hairs on my arms standing up a little bit when Jalen got defensive. You played us that tape last week, Mark, and got defensive about stuff. And it's like, he's just not the new shiny penny of a corner anymore. There's a new one, and he's got a new regime to try and impress. So what do we make of these reports today that he was playing with the second string? What's going on here?
Yeah, man. I mean, I observed the whole thing out there, and early on, we saw, those of us that are here at Hallis Hall, Bears reporters, we see the rookie Kyler Gordon and Kendall Vildor starting at corner early on in the practice. Okay, all right, well, let's see if that changes eventually. It didn't. Then we're like, okay, once they do official 7-on-7, that's going to change. Nope, it didn't change. And you had, like you said, Spiggs, Jalen Johnson was out there running with the twos the entire time. I don't think there was one time where he went up against Justin Fields and the Bears' number one offense. So that was one of the first questions that I asked Matt Eberflus, and this is his response. He will tell you whether or not to read into it, and then he will talk more about his evaluation of Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, I wouldn't read into that right now. You know, he's just getting back into action right now, so we're just seeing where he is with his conditioning and those types of things. But ones and twos, we're moving all guys around. We have a bunch of guys with the ones, with the twos. We have some threes in there, but nothing to read into that at this time. Yeah, I looking at him, like I said last week, I didn't get a chance to look at him, and now I've seen him for a week. And I like what I see. I mean, he's moving around really good. His change of direction is nice. He's got really good hands. As you know, he has good size. So now just really looking at his coverage ability, and it's in a good spot, and it's in a really good spot. So we're just working with him and, again, trying to assess his skills, and we'll coach him as we go.
I mean,
is it true? Were there other obvious starters who were with second and third team, Grody, that you guys could see?
Other starters? No, not really. No, I mean, well, like this was the obvious one.
Right, he said, like, don't read anything into it. He's just working his way back.
We're playing guys
in all of these other places.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. There were times when, like, especially with the defensive line, it was difficult to get a read on exactly who is going to be, you know, filtering guys in and out.
Yeah, it's a position where you rotate guys.
Correct.
But starting corner plays every snap.
Right. And there were times, like, I can't sit here and tell you that I saw 100% of the offensive starters that normally run with the first string doing for, like, they may have filtered through another guy, but like the offensive line stayed exactly the same. Darnell Mooney stayed where he was. I mean, this was glaring. You know, this was glaring,
right?
He wasn't. So,
hey Groats, am I missing something? Does he need to work on his conditioning in some way that's different than every other player that's there? Is there an injury? Was there a period of inactivity? Is there anything in Jalen's recent past that needs to be worked on?
The only thing that I could think of, and this is probably a question one of us probably should have asked, but I guess my brain went to, well, he has missed a couple of the mini camp, I think he missed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it is that or if he is just not exactly where they want him conditioning wise at this point. But I do think that the whole thing is interesting.
I don't think it's an, it really doesn't sound or feel like an accident. And I think that's a pretty good job of lying there by Matt Eberflus.
We all know that's what they do.
Because as long as he talks to Jalen about it and they deal with it, that's fine. I don't care what he says to us about it.
But you know, the thing is we know that he's better than Kendall Vildor, right?
Yes.
Jalen Johnson is better than Kendall Vildor. So that's a point in the favor of Eberflus and taking him at his word and thinking, all right, for some reason he's playing second string. Is it because of you know, they want to get him in better shape. Is it really because they're evaluating his coverage skills at this point still? Is it because he wanted to put a lockdown guy on some of the second and third string receivers that are trying out for this team? I'm not sure what we got as far as the real answer is concerned, but I would tend to believe that eventually we will see Jalen Johnson being a starting cornerback with perhaps Kyler Gordon.
But, I think that yeah, that they're going to be the starters week one.
Yeah, for sure. But like at this point, like I could see lots of different coaches, good coaches, thoughtful coaches, doing something punitive for whatever reason. You know, like go ahead and run with the twos because he missed a couple of the OTAs like you're talking about, or because something happened behind closed doors. We know he was late to a meeting and got fined and shared that last year. So who knows what has gone on behind closed doors? You know, who knows?
Yeah, well, that's very true, and there are probably things that we don't know, and we don't see every like we got to see 3/4 of the practice today, but there is a period of time in all of these practices that we don't get to see and see every little thing that goes on, every little starter that's lining up. But again, this is the one that stood out.
Right. I guess it strikes me as like I'm all for coaches, managers, anybody in sports using stuff like this punitively, if that is indeed what's happening, to try and make a point in a teaching atmosphere. I'm all for it.
Exactly. And that is a big if. And I guess we'll find out in the next couple of weeks if when we return here again in early June, if everything is back to normal, which it very well could be, but we shall see.
All right, so what did he say about my beloved Justin Fields?
Parco,
I mean, what kind of Bears report is this?
Bearing
the damn lead.
Dude, I got
making
the obligatory. Nobody had asked a question about Justin Fields, I don't think. So I asked the obligatory question.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I said, okay, here we are again. This is yet another week for you to evaluate Justin Fields. What'd you think today? And Matt Eberflus?
I would say, man, he throws a good deep ball. I would say that. I'm excited about that. And you can see it in the 7-on-7 and 11-on-11s. And we're going to take our shots down the field. And man, he does a nice job doing that, and that's what stands out to me.
Sure. He does. He throws a beautiful deep ball. Did in college. He did last year. You remember that game against the Lions? Beautiful deep ball.
You want to hear that one again, Danny? Was that long enough for you? Is it short?
It
short.
It was the shortest cut.
Yeah, it really was.
Danny, can we hear about Justin Fields' deep ball one more time, please?
I would say, man, he throws a good deep ball.
Oh, man, thank you. That was great.
Hey, he really does. Honestly, this is progress because usually it's, oh, he's the first guy in and the last guy out, and this guy's a leader, and man, people love him. And he gave us something today. That was pretty concrete, I thought. Throws a nice deep ball.
You know? All right. He's learned some stuff. I think they should keep letting him sit in on the meetings for the offensive staff.
Yeah,
I think.
Hey, he was asked about Luke Getsy today. And said, he said, I think all our coaches are great. So,
he must have
said
something.
Up your skull for you.
We got any nuggets, Grody?
Yeah, you know the name that's popping up. We talked to the assistant coaches today, and two assistant coaches, the secondary coach and the safety coach, both mentioned Jaquan Brisker as standing out and being really adept at the peanut punch. They do call it the peanut punch, and they said, I said, why is he better? He said, I don't know. He just got, like, there's a lot of vision to it, they said, and that you got to really muscle the thing. Like, there's an actual skill to it. So Jaquan Brisker standing out for the Bears. And Gary Fensick, 85 Chicago Bear, was at the practice. So naturally, like a moth, I started talking to Gary Fensick. He was here to there was a program going on here today. I think it might have been some advertisers from our building, actually, that were out here today. So Gary Fensick was speaking, and I started to talk to him, and I said, I brought up a very deep topic with him that you guys should feel free to jump on. What if the Bears didn't win the Super Bowl in 1986? What is the butterfly effect of all sports in Chicago, the way we treat those guys? Would the Bears have won another title since then? A couple, maybe? Guys, that goes deep, because you could talk about it with any sports. Would the Cubs have been as motivated? Would the Sox have been as motivated? Would, you know, there are so many things that may or may not have happened.
Doesn't matter.
Danny,
does not matter. Oh, no.
When's your next overnight shift? Because that sounds like 3 hours.
Yeah,
that sounds like 3 hours of a show right there.
Oh, and he shared with me too that the Super Bowl Shuffle was initially called the Shuffle, and that's why he said, "Yeah, I was cool with it being called the Shuffle, but I didn't want them to put Super Bowl in there." But then they changed it on me, so it was initially called the Shuffle.
Spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen that video. Yes.
Breaking news on the Score, brought to you by the Beat the Streak podcast. Get an inside edge on how to win the $5.6 million prize every day this baseball season.
Yes, and I would be doing Score overnight on Thursdays. I will share the rest of my nuggets from Gary Fencek. Excuse me on that particular night.
Bears.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, Bears. All right, Grody. See you later, buddy.
Bye, Bears.
Bears. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's the greatest.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.